Amanda handed away her chalice, uncaring of who took it.
So Ryan and his people are free. Search for them, Lieutenant. Inside the Ville and in detail. Send scouts into the Wheel and an ambassador to the Sons of the Knife. Offer the Coldhearts anything they wish, but those people will be found.
Richard reclined backward.
Place a reward of freedom and food to the slaves. Interrogate the Gaudy Sluts and servants, torture thieves, slaughter whole families, but find them. Or else find us a way into their locked vehicle.
Anders avoided eye contact.
We try our best, but the doors resist our best thieves. The metal is proof to saws and acids. May I use explosives?
Not yet. What about the windshield?
Could probably smash through, but then we would still have to get past the grating. It's made of a pre-dark metal beyond our knowledge. Some sort of super steel.
An alloy, or an anthropic composite.
My lady?
She waved the matter away.
Continue on your efforts to gain entrance, Lieutenant.
And bring us success soon, or else you'll beg to be turned over to Eugene. Do you understand?
At once, Your Highness. Certainly. With all due speed.
Richard grandly gestured with the saber.
Then go.
And report to us at sundown. With good news.
Spinning on a heel, the Sec man marched away on trembling legs, his camo fatigue splotchy with sweat stains. When the lieutenant was far enough away, Richard turned to his sibling.
Do you think he told us the truth?
He tested the edge of his weapon on a thumb. The steel drew a thin line of blood, and satisfied, he sheathed the blade with a flourish.
I could smell the stink of fear on him. Yes, he told the truth. And was yet brave enough to face us with failure.
Does that mean he does not fear us enough? Perhaps we should reorient his attention.
Amanda rested a dainty hand on his thick arm.
Later, my sweet. First, we must find the people who control the tank. With it at our command, nobody could stand before our troops.
We could rule the world from coast to coast.
She smiled at the ignorance.
From sea to shining sea.
Yes, yes!
He raised a clenched fist, then lowered it and glanced nervously about the room.
Do you really think Ryan is still here, even if free?
Naturally. He admitted that he was a former ruler. He'll want the Citadel.
The deputy ward turned red. He stood, flourishing his sword.
Never! Death is too good for them. By father's blood, they shall all die for this impudence.
Rabbit stew.
Amanda toyed with her pearl necklace.
What? What do you mean?
She crossed her knees, her gown rising to expose a great deal of creamy thigh.
The recipe for rabbit stew, dear brother. First, catch the rabbit.
Perhaps we should flood all of Novaville with sleep gas, and then have the Sec men sort the bodies. Many would die, but how could he escape that?
How did he escape this time? Besides, if our guards are unconscious, then who shall do the work? Am I to do a slave's task?
He kissed her hand.
No, of course not. But they must not escape.
That vehicle is the key to everything we want.
I only wish I knew how they locked its doors when they were asleep.
Some clockwork mechanism, or a comp.
Ah, comps. Machines that think. Fairy tales for fools and peasants.
If you say so, dear brother.
A servant refilled her chalice from a silver tureen. She took a sip and frowned.
Too sweet.
Amanda poured the blue onto the girls kneeling at her feet. They were drenched to the skin, but ignored the action and made no move to clean themselves. Gushing apologies, the servant hurried off to the kitchen for another bottle. Turning slightly, Richard glanced at the closed curtains.
Perhaps we should awaken Father and ask his counsel.
He'll be cross. He hates to be disturbed.
Do we have another choice?
She sat back.
No, we don't.
Captain of the Guards!
The little man scurried into view from a curtained alcove. The dogs responded to his passage, but didn't try to attack him. He bowed.
Yes, my liege. How may I serve?
Clear the room. My sister and I are going to awaken Father.
The man clapped twice, and everybody departed quickly. even the Sekhmen at the machine gun nest. Alone in the great room, the heirs ascended the few steps of the dais to the next level and pulled the cord to part the heavy curtains. In ragged stages, he started to become awake, distorted images swirling around him like a fevered nightmare. The Ranger, the Ivy, Leviathan, Trap. As the last wisps of sleep departed, cold adrenaline surged, and Ryan came fully awake, scrambling for his rifle. It was nowhere to be found. Sitting upright, he found himself on a pile of rags, forming a crude bed on a bare rock floor. The rest of his group was also nearby on rag beds. None of them appeared to be hurt or constricted in any way. Glancing about, he realized they were in a cave of some kind, the light coming from oil lanterns set into holes in the irregular walls. It was quiet and cool, very restful. That was when he noticed his side didn't hurt much, and exploring fingers found he was expertly bandaged. It was a little difficult to catch his breath, but the pain was almost entirely gone. Also, he seemed to have been washed and dressed in clean clothes. His own clothes, the rips sewn and holes patched. Rubbing his chin in contemplation, Ryan was shocked to find himself shaved. Even his army boots were polished. What the hell was going on here? Some wooden tables formed a square under a hanging lantern, and stumbling over, Ryan discovered their weapons lying there. Not the ones they had taken from the hack room, but their personal weapons. His Steyr SSG-70 and Sig Sauer, Christie's Ruger, Jack's Big Bore 357 Magnum, and Doc's Oddball Lamas and Swordstick. It was all of the supplies and equipment they had when that blonde bitch gassed his people, after they saved her from the bikers. He lifted his pistol and checked the ammo clip. Incredible. The blasters and knives appeared to have been cleaned and oiled, and there were boxes and boxes of ammo, a lot more than they had taken from the hack room. There were even some HE Grens and an old box of dynamite, the coil of fuse lying nearby, but not too close.
What's going on here?
He shoved his blaster into its holster. His voice acted as a clarion call, summoning the rest from their induced slumber. Yawning mightily, JB staggered over.
What's going on here? We pass out in the courtyard and wake up in a cave?
Lightning hit us and the courtyard collapsed?
Christie's hair was in knotted tangles, a sure sign she wasn't fully cognizant yet.
Or did JB hit something with his Tommy gun?
Then she stared at her hands.
Clean nails. Hey, I've been bathed. And the rips are mended.
Blasters are over here.
Ryan shouldered the Steyr. With cries of astonishment, the weapons were reclaimed.
Our own weapons?
Hot pipe! Look at all the ammo!
Pockets were stuffed. Doc peered into his pistol.
Better also check them for blocked barrels. Maybe this is an intelligence test of some kind.
Mine's clear.
Ryan closed the Sig Sauer.
Clear.
Mildred closed her target pistol.
They're fine, you old coot. Don't go paranoid on us.
Even paranoids have enemies. Besides, how do we know this ammunition is still viable?
Weighing a full box of 357 bullets in his palm, Jack examined around, then slid a single bullet into his blaster and fired. The magnum discharge sounded like thunder in the confines of the cave, and the slug blew a hole in the wooden table the size of a fist. The furniture toppled over with a crash, and a leg cracked off in pieces.
Seems okay.
The teenager reloaded his revolver.
Fool! You could have blown off a hand!
Know another way to test ammo?
Jack snapped shut the cylinder of his magnum. Doc glared at the teenager, then relented with a grudging smile.
No, sir, I do not. My apologies.
After acquiring the Grens and dynamite, the armorer slid his shotgun over his shoulder and then paused, looking at the Thompson 22 submachine gun lying next to his Uzi 9mm submachine gun. He patted the Tommy gun fondly, but reclaimed the Uzi, studiously checking it over for damage.
JB?
Dean tucked away his Browning automatic, his vest once again bulging with ammo rounds.
Yeah?
Dean pointed.
Can I have it?
JB waved the boy on, and Dean took the Thompson. Cradling the ungainly blaster, he experimented with different grips until finding a proper balance.
Heavy pump.